In this session, we have the third paper of the seminar and the second paper of the day, Language and Territory Issues of Rights and Identities. Sorry, that was the previous one, third paper, The Case for a Single Script for Konkani by Madhavi Sardesai. Madhavi Sardesai is in the Department of Konkani at Goa University. She has a PhD in linguistics, where she has worked on the linguistic aspects of Konkani in Goa. I understand that some people outside, could it be announced to them that the session is beginning?
This paper by Madhavi Sardesai, who herself is a linguist, is going to be read by Anil Pirko. Anil Pirko is an English professor, teaches at the Christ College, Bangalore. Many of you might have seen him. He was earlier with St. Aloysius College. It's very unfortunate that one of the brightest person in Bangalore at that time, I remember meeting him years ago, has been lost as a cultural capital for Bangalore. I'm sure he is doing extremely well in Bangalore, and it's a pleasure to listen to him here in this session. He has been moderating largely the seminar proceedings, and it's very good that Anil is going to read this paper, because he would know what Madhavi Sardesai is talking all about. May I request now Anil to make the presentation.
Thank you, sir. You would like to come in for a while.
Okay. I'm sorry, with the permission of the chair, I would like to clarify the absence of Dr. Madhavi Sardesai today, because we are in such a conflicting situation. One would tend to suspect her absence as purposely done, or she's not here under pressure and all that. I'm sure there is pressure on her, there is no doubt about that. But she was very gracious in accepting the invitation, and she was in contact with me. And since Friday, she's been trying to prepare me for her not coming, citing her ill health as the problem. And I concede that to her, but I respect her decision really in the first place to participate, and I appreciate that she at least sent the paper. So please do not take her absence as something else. Give her the. We are happy that that opinion, it's the dominating opinion in Konkani today. He is being placed before this seminar. Thank you, sir. Anil.
Thank you, Eric. I haven't read the paper before, so I'm reading for the first time myself. There might be slips, but do bear with me. The case for single script for Konkani, Madhavi Sardesai, Department of Konkani, Goa University. Background: Konkani occupies the southernmost position in the Indo-Aryan linguistic continuum on the Indian peninsula. Towards the north and northeast, it merges gradually with Marathi, its closest kin. Towards the south and southeast, it touches Kannada, a Dravidian language. There are pockets of Konkani-speaking population in and around Mangalore, predominantly a Tulu area in the South Kannada district of Karnataka, and in around Cochin, predominantly a Malayalam area. These are a result of the exodus of the Konkani-speaking Goans under the Portuguese rule, mass migration of Hindus from old conquests for avoiding the coercive proselytizing policy of the government, and mass migration of the Christians in the 17th and 18th centuries with a view to avoiding the terror of Inquisition policy of the Church, see Miranda 1978. Following N.G. Kelekar, taking into consideration the historical events and cultural ties of the speakers, the Konkani linguistic continuum could be seen as comprising of three main dialectical groups: Northern Konkani, Central Konkani, and Southern Konkani. Northern Konkani would comprise of the group of Konkani dialects spoken in the Ratnagiri district of Maharashtra. These dialects have strong cultural ties with the Marathi language. Southern Konkani would consist of the group of Konkani dialects spoken in North Kannada district of Karnataka. These have come in close contact with the Kannada language, which is the dominant regional means of cultural expression and instruction. Central Konkani would subsume dialects in the state of Goa in an erstwhile Portuguese colony. Here, Konkani came in close contact with Portuguese language and culture. According to the 2001 census, Konkani has speakers in India. Of these, 7,69,888 are in Goa, 7,68,039 in Karnataka, 6,58,259 in Maharashtra, and 61,376 in Kerala. Konkani is written in five scripts: Roman, Kannada, Malayalam, Perso-Arabic, and Devanagari. However, as far as production of literature is concerned, Roman, Kannada, and Devanagari could be called the main scripts of Konkani. Single script perspectives, achievements, and challenges. All scripts, with the exception of one Devanagari, were historical accidents and convenient local choices in case of Konkani. Devanagari was a conscious choice. Konkani scholar and lexicographer Monsignor Sebastiano Rodolfo Delgado, 1855 to 1922, was the first strong advocate of Devanagari for Konkani. He himself used the script, rather the Marathi Balabodha version of Devanagari, Balabodha version of Devanagari, in his Konkani Portuguese Dictionary published in 1893. Delgado was pained by the condition of decadence and lack of organization in Konkani. He strongly felt that the language needed to be restored, not at random and at the whims and caprices of individuals, but methodically and scientifically. His choice of the script for Konkani was a part of his project of recomposing, quote, a disorganized language with its element in part forgotten, in part disfigured and mutilated, unquote, and thus leads it again to its pristine state of perfection. Delgado's choice of Devanagari for Konkani was determined by the following considerations. One, Konkani belonged to the Indo-Aryan family, and Devanagari, being the perfect script of its mother tongue, mother language, belonged as much to Konkani as its other sister languages and also suited its system of sounds. Adopting Devanagari for Konkani would facilitate the study of sister languages of Konkani. Delgado's dictionaries were mainly compiled for the use of his colleagues, that is, fellow priests, many of whom were cut off from the native linguistic traditions. Hence, for the benefit of those users who did not know the Devanagari alphabet, Delgado used the Jonasian system of romanization as subordinate to the Devanagari alphabet. This system of romanization, according to Delgado, was perfectly harmonious with the Devanagari system and was decidedly superior to Latin. The Devanagari script later became an integral part of the Konkani identity project initiated by Vaman Raghunath Varde Valaulikar, alias Shanai Goimbab. Shanai Goimbab's intervention began as a subversion of the established linguistic ethos, the Marathi identity, of the elitist Hindu linguistic culture to which he belonged. However, it was not just a Hindu subversion. Shanai Goimbab was convinced that in a fragmented and divided Goan Konkani community, Purna Swarajya could not be attained only in and through Konkani, as this was the only thread that bound Konkani Hindus and Christians, masses and classes. He made Konkani enter domains hitherto reserved only for Marathi and dreamt of a speech community unified in a Konkani identity. Through this identity, he sought to unite all Konkani subcultures, Goan or otherwise, that were almost invariably the lower side in diglossic situations. The Konkani versus Marathi controversy that superficially got expressed as a language versus dialect controversy during the first half of the 20th century was a clear indication that speakers of Konkani saw diglossia as a problem and were willing to extricate themselves from the situation. The language versus dialect controversy took a sharp sociocultural and political turn when Konkani speakers, influenced by Shone Goimbab, began asserting themselves as a distinct speech community and were brought together under the banner of an All India body, the Konkani Parishad, by Madhav Manjunath Shanbhag, an advocate from Karwar. To quote Ravindra Kelekar, the Konkani movement began when Vamanbab Walolikar, who had grown up in the Marathi tradition, started writing in Konkani with a pen name of Shone Goimbab. The movement got its direction in the first session of the Konkani Parishad held in Karwar in 1923. The Konkani Parishad was formed against the backdrop of the thought of realigning Indian states on linguistic principles, whose main advocate was Mahatma Gandhi. To unify the fragmented and scattered Konkani community under the banner of one language and one script, hence one literature, has ever since been the explicit primary agenda of the Konkani Parishad. The first session of the Konkani Parishad, held in Karwar on July 8, 1939, resolved to adopt the Devanagari script for Konkani as it was the common script of all Aryan languages. It urged the provincial governments to initiate preparation of school textbooks in Konkani, mother tongue of the Konkani people, by using the Devanagari script, and also to carry out adult literacy programs for Konkani people in their own tongue using the Devanagari script. The second section of the Parishad in Udupi in 1940 and chaired by Jerome A. Saldana, provincial judge, Madras, once again passed the above resolutions with some minor modifications. Mr. Saldana, in his presidential address, supported the case of Devanagari for Konkani, as it was also the script of Hindi, which was already envisaged then as a national link language. Professor Armando Menezes, president of the third session of the Konkani Parishad, held in Mumbai in April 1942, also upheld the view that Konkani would have to adopt one script if it had to develop itself and also undergo standardization. Devanagari alone was the logical choice for Konkani, according to Menezes. Shone Goimbab, who was the chairperson of the reception committee of this session of the Parishad, strongly advocated the case of Devanagari as one common script for Konkani, saying, quote, "The script of Konkani is none other than the script of the Vedas," unquote. He appeared to the Konkani people to adopt, appeal to the Konkani people to adopt a single common script if Konkani had to remain one language and not get divided into two or three more languages on the basis of script, and also if the project of a state Konkani, Konkani nationality, Konkani Rashtrata, had to be realized. The ideological foundations of the Konkani movement have always been laid down by the Konkani Parishad, and its position on the script issue has been consistently explicit and clear right from its inception. The Konkani movement deserves to be given the credit for all the major achievements of Konkani that have led to its empowerment during the past 50 years or so. 1. Separate political identity for Goa, which was achieved in 1967. 2. Getting Konkani recognized by the Sahitya Academy as one of India's literary languages. This was achieved in 1975. 3. Getting Konkani recognized as the official language of the administration of Goa. This was achieved in 1987. 4. Getting Konkani included in the 8th schedule of the Indian Constitution, which lists the major national languages. This was achieved in 1992. In all In this All India movement involving Konkani speech community spread over 4 states of the Indian Union, the Konkani community in Goa, Kelekar's central Konkani area, was politically more assertive than that in the other states where Konkani was only a minority language. This was because there was more scope for Konkani nationality in Goa than anywhere else. The establishment of the Department of Konkani in 1987, with which I am associated since November 1992, could also be seen as a byproduct of the Konkani movement. Fruits of the movement could be tasted in this vibrant department of Goa University, which is, in my opinion, is a perfect representative sample of the Goan population. The India capacity of the department is 25 students per class, MA Part 1 and Part 2. But presently, we have altogether 73 students, including 4 second language speakers of Konkani belonging to the migrant populations. Script is not at all an issue for this new generation. Modern Konkani literature in the Devanagari script was launched by Shanoy Goyimbab in 1910. It began as a modest stream but nevertheless addressed itself to an All India Konkani readership. This itself is a great achievement for the Konkani movement. Vonglam, a compilation of Konkani short stories in a Karwari Konkani dialect and published from Mumbai in the Devanagari script in 1935, outlines its readership as follows. Konkani, quote, Konkani people in Mumbai in the north to Travancore in the south, publishers forward, unquote. Today, this stream has become a vast river with more and more tributaries joining in. Karwar is not a part of the Konkani state, but Konkani writers from Karwar, such as Mahabaleshwar Sail and Devidas Kadam, who write in the Devanagari script with the full impact of the Karwari lexicon, have already made Karwar a part of Konkani literature along with its linguistic richness. Of all the scripts used for Konkani Devanagari has been the most inclusive. Besides carrying the so-called standard variety of Konkani, it has always provided space for the dialectical variations of Konkani. All throughout my 16-year involvement with the editing of the Jag magazine, I have learned a lot from and enjoyed and celebrated this richness of Konkani, which is unique in several ways. Konkani literature in the Devanagari script has been growing quantitatively and qualitatively and also in variety over the past 50 years. Literature of knowledge that includes writings pertaining to the various scientific disciplines has carved out a place for itself in Konkani literature in the Devanagari script. The Konkani language movement has come a long way and yet it has a long way to go. The goals of the movement have no doubt been realized to a large extent, but a community united under the banner of one language, one script, one literature still remains a far cry. As a result, we often know others better than we know our own selves. There may be several Konkani readers, writers in Bangalore who would be familiar with Shivaram Karan, but totally strangers to Ravindra Kelekar. Similarly, there will be several Konkani readers, writers in Goa who would know Ranjit Desai very well and would not even have heard of VJP Saldana. Multiple scripts also block our perspective of Konkani literature. One will have to admit that all these years we have only been discussing Konkani literature in individual scripts, and that too apologetically. One is simply not able to take an overall stock of Konkani literature. A history of Konkani literature written by Manohar Rai Sardesai and published by Sahit Academy, New Delhi, would serve to illustrate the present-day Konkani's critics' plight. Such a predicament renders literary criticism simply impossible. As mentioned earlier, Devanagari script was a conscious choice made by the visionaries of the Konkani movement. This tradition is a little more than a century old. Hence, it would be unfair to compare the Devanagari readership with the traditional readers of the Roman and Kannada scripts. These readerships could only be compared with the Goan Marathi readership. To quote Ravindra Kelekar once again, quote, Konkani is not a shield for protecting the old traditions. It is rather a double-edged sword for felling the old traditions and forging new ones, unquote. Konkani literature and also the Konkani people can grow on the strong foundation of a single script. A single script is the very scope for understanding and knowing one another. Without this scope, we would be forever condemned to our isolated chambers and hopelessly remain a disintegrated and endangered speech community. This predicament may win us minority status and relegate Konkani to the museum status of a heritage language, but it will never lead us towards the lofty vision of a united speech community. The case of a single script for Konkani could also be argued on other important practical and economic grounds, but these, in my opinion, are secondary to the one thread above. Thank you.
Thank you, Anil. We will have to borrow a different mode to discuss this paper. You may suggest alternatives, but this is what I have in mind. Anil cannot be, Anil cannot have the burden to defend a paper somebody else has written. I don't know whether he agrees with Madhavi's other side with regards to her views. So what we would have is, you know, in this audience, if there are people who are prepared to defend the arguments that Madhavi is arguing, so that they can make submissions extending those arguments, and I think you should come forward. And those who are critical of her arguments, whether they can advance alternative evidences against her arguments. I basically see three big arguments that she projects. And let me state those three big arguments, just for the sake of clarity. She begins to argue that from the late part of the 19th century, there has been a consistent stand voiced by major luminaries with regard to the association of Devanagari with the Konkani script, including different associations that have come up, particularly Konkani Parishad. This is one of the arguments, which is an argument of history. Now, probably most of you know about this particular argument, how it went with regard to Hindi Prachari Sabha in South India, and the revolt against the Hindi Prachari Sabha. The same argument that Madhavi Sardesai makes. The second argument she makes, and it's an interesting argument, that there is a whole body of literature today that has been created in Konkani, scientific literature, and if this literature has to be announced and broadened, a particular script is required. She cites the case of her own institution and how Goa University today has become a major repository of a great body of literature, including scientific investigation in Konkani. The second argument. Of course, there is a fourth argument. The third argument that she makes is a serious literary criticism to develop. You need to have a strong association with the script and therefore Devanagari. And a fourth argument, I think, which she makes, that is, she thinks that there is a kindred relationship between Konkani and Devanagari. A kindred relationship which could be enormously beneficial for the further growth of Konkani and its spread across the country. Otherwise, it is going to be hugely localized. And she cites evidence of this kindred relationship in terms of access to the resources of other languages taken in general research. I saw these four arguments. I am sure that some of you or others have noticed other arguments. Therefore, do pick up if you have picked up others. So those who defend these arguments, and I think these are reasonable arguments, you can actually defend these arguments and demonstrate that they are not so reasonable as to be accepted. And those people who actually want to contend against these arguments, and if you can be able to agree, because it's a advocacy platform, and advocacies normally create a great deal of fire in the audiences, and therefore you can be brief in your comments. Thank you. Is it okay, or do you want to suggest, is it all there? There could be a neutral position. The first position agreeing with Mother Teresa, second position is contending against her, and probably there is another alternative third position. You could come up with an alternative third position.
Yeah.
Could you announce the names?
I'm Joseph Sheikh, who spoke in the morning session, and whatever I spoke in the morning, that supports whatever she says in her arguments. She has referred to William Saldanha, a prominent writer from this area, from Mangalore, and I remember I was working also with Dr. DeCosta, C.F. DeCosta, another prominent poet and writer. Who along with me strongly supported these arguments? All four, Kinder, Kinder, Akhil Bharati, and public relations. But ultimately, we found that they were never accepted for Bharati. I mean, these arguments never showed us the way to ensure that one script for the language, that is Komali, would one day emerge and we all would be writing Komali in Devanagarisam. I am myself a writer of Komali in Devanagarisam. However, but I have been also writing in Roman script, and so also I have written something with very little literature produced in Kalyan script as well, but it was not that. More so because my dialect of the language was different. My dialect was a foreign dialect. Now, I just want to enlighten the audience here. The very fact that Mr. William Saldanha and others supported these arguments by 1990, when I happened to meet both of them, they were against these arguments. Because earlier in this whole morning session, we had discussed if the script is lost, what will be lost? And they thought that in case we lose the script, that is correct, we will lose our identity, we will lose the shade of Konkani being spoken and taken far and wide by the people of this area, Karnataka. So also, as pointed out by Mr. Ramayana Karno, same thing happened in Goa. My friend Mr. Ramayana Karno did not give a correct picture of whether people belonging to all shades of Konkani were present in Akhil Bharatiya Konkani Sahitya Parishad. In fact, all those who were writing Devanagari script, Kannada script, and Roman script, except for Persian script, were always present. And always everybody, if you defended the argument that yes, we should have one script. Ultimately, practically it was not possible. More so because of the strong attachment and the continuity of writing the producing the literature in respective scripts. So I think at this point of time now, in case we defend this argument, we are going to produce five different languages in future. You know, and not one. Because there is such a strong attachment to this library is that the people who are writing in different shades of different suits in Kogri and different shades of Kogri could never accept this argument. So I hope I have made the point.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Pratap, and you don't come now. You come in the afternoon. It might be better for you to develop an entire article.
Yeah. I'm Ansel Sudhaparka, coming from Asai Bombay. We have literature with different scripts in Kongani. But literature that is produced in Devanagari, books and everything, they are always financed by the government. And no authors publish any book on their own, or either they are published for the sake of awards. And naturally, there is no sale for the books. But books in English, Kannada, and Roman script, the authors themselves publish and the books are sold. Case in Maharashtra, in my state, in the whole of Maharashtra, there are only two registered newspaper periodicals, and they are widely spread. And both are in Kannada script. Kutam Kukani Weekly and Diva Kukani Weekly. There is no Devanagari periodical in all of Maharashtra. There is one Roman script periodical that comes out in Roman script, Kokani, and English language, bilingual. So there are no other periodicals there. So even in Maharashtra also, we can see the Kannada script is widely read.
Some quick points. First of all, 1939, the history always tells me from 1939, it was accepted as the Devanagari script was founded. But in 1962, after the liberation, the greatest supporter of Devanagari, that is Ravin Kirekar, Janpide Warrior, he saw that there is a lot of tension among the Goan community. Basically, because they were working against the Roman script. And he writes, in 1962, he writes an article. And in that article, he says, let us not fight over the issues today. And let us develop the language first. And after the development, let us see what people want. Whether they want Roman script, let us give Roman script. They want Devanagari script, let us give Devanagari script. Or Kannada script, Kannada. This article, I have quoted in so many articles of mine whenever I speak. Why this article thought came in the mind of Ravin Kirekar? If 1939 it was decided once for all, then where was the need in 1962 to say that, okay, we will first develop the language and then decide over the script? This is one thing. Secondly, I myself was a supporter of the Devanagari script. I myself. And that's how he found me attending the all of this Parichas and all. But the constitution of that Parichas, we were not more than 10%. The supporters of other scripts, be it mentioned Vijayavi Sardar, he was one, used to come. I don't know how many more from Kannada used to come. Now, again, that is the reason why I was arguing, how can you say that decision was democratic, where 90% of the participants are only supporting one script. Next, another thing. In 1975, the language was approved by the Sahitya Academy as independent language. You will be surprised to listen to this. Most of the books were taken and shown to the authorities were from Roman script. 86 that Yonagiri writings increased because of the formation of Goa Kumari Academy and financial support. And lastly, one more point I am making in the education. In Goa education, in 1991, Konkani Medium School was introduced. The government that came power at that time was pro-Marathi government, headed by Sri Gauranga Kolhatkar, and some people had defected from Congress and joined them. So they made a policy, only regional language in the Devanagari district will be allowed to be taught in the schools. 139 schools belonging to Diocesan Board of Education had to accept this because otherwise they were not getting the salaries for the teachers. And they started. At that time, 139 schools, the parents of the students were all followers of the manuscript, had to send their children to learn in the Devanagari script, that is, in a different script, a different Boli, and particularly the whole thing was foreign to the students. As time, and there were only four schools belonging to the Konkani supporters, only four schools. After 20 years, when I also revolted against them, those four schools which were belonging to the Konkani Devanagari supporters reduced to two. Whereas 139 or 137 schools remained the same, but number of students were getting less and less in this school. And therefore, recently, there was a big demonstration for English medium schools. And you know, the parent that is given his writing to the state, out of 35,000 students, 30,000 students have said that they would like to go for English medium. Only 4,000 remains in Konkani. Now, this is the state. Why am I presenting this? One language, one script. One language has not succeeded and will not succeed. On the contrary, it will destroy the language itself.
Let me refocus.
But I have not seen. I'm sure that Dr. Pratap Nayak is going to come up. There are four arguments, very interesting arguments. That Madhuri sir has said. The historical argument has been discussed. The historical argument does not hold good, and I don't think I would like to elaborate on it. But there are three other things which she makes her case. Mr. Carlos, of course, intervened with regard to the first, but I think she also refers to something more. These three arguments come to it. The first argument is, no language develops merely with creative literature. A language is also the storehouse of knowledge. What has happened now with the fragmentation, that there is a heightened focus with regard to literary creativity, but not language as the expression of a body of knowledge. And that body of knowledge cannot be created by several factors. It needs to be reforms. So this is a big argument. It's a big argument, and this argument has been made to the English teachers. The second argument is, given the fragments, any kind of serious literary interaction has become extremely difficult, and therefore literary criticism has not developed. Third one is the argument of resource. The argument of resource is quite powerful. She thinks that Devanagari would provide access to other languages much better and thereby help the growth of Konkani enormously. And this point, let's say, suppose you can make your submissions attacking this. These are big arguments. I'm sure that most of you would agree that these are big arguments. How would you debunk these big arguments? eventually you need to debunk these arguments.
Hello. My name is Rotega, P.D. Rotega. I would just like to, I agree with you that literature is what is it, store out of knowledge. We cannot overlook the fact that protagonists of Devanagari, they write in that script, but not read whatever published in that script. Especially Father Prasad Rai has given a good example, illustration, in what one could be getting, which is hardly 900 people in the whole of Goa read this paper. Yes, I get the figure also. Now, there is a flow of literature in Pokhari script, Pokhari script. There is flow of literature. You can say that it is now golden period of Pokhari literature. In Rumi script, scientific books, technical books, all are available, most of the books are written and are available in Rumi script. Devanagari has given only one example of one periodical, that is Zag. But in Rumi script, there are a number of periodicals and magazines. If you just visit any paper shop in the morning, you will find these lovers of Pokhari or protectors of Devanagari Pokhari, they do not prefer to read paper in the Devanagari script, Kokhani paper. They prefer to read Marathi. They prefer to read English. Whereas when we publish, I am the editor of one Kokhani magazine, Mr. Anil Thorpe, he is also editor of one periodical, Ashok Thorpe. And our messages are sold without any reach. But it is in Rumi script, forward information. This is in Rumi script. Regular enough, both here and publishing Kokhani. I am writing both in Devanagari as well as Rumi script. Recently, I have published one Kokhani book in Devanagari script, but there is no reason. But now, these people, there is so many demand to publish in their own script. Last time, one Kokhani novel which I have published. So, it is. So, why is that? There is market in Rumi script, in Goa, I am speaking of Goa. But in Devanagari, we are lost. Nobody reads it, nobody encourages. They only speak of Kokhani, they only speak of Devanagari Kokhani, when I say Kokhani, they speak of Devanagari Kokhani, but they don't read. Now, if you visit any paper shop, they hardly keep 5 or 6 papers of Devanagari, Dakshinakarnam, Vishnupa, Father Pratam had shown yesterday. This is a fact. But whereas the Marathi paper, they are in thousands, any country, any shop will go. So there is no leadership in Devanagari Kokhani, whereas there is vast leadership in Rumi Kokhani. In Rumi.
Thank you. Thank you. Eric Babu wanted to say something, and then you know you
can. I'm sorry. Yeah, I look at it like this. In layman's way of looking at it, this is a pool of Konkani literature where contributions from different sections of the Goan society come in. Contribution from the Roman script writers, Kannada script writers, Devanagari script writers, for them all this. Suddenly you pick out one of them. I might feel a sympathy to those writers, but keep them aside. Who loses? It's the pool of Konkani that loses. The loser is Konkani language. Finally, you take out Kannada contribution. They are gone to the side. They are no more considered as writers. Still, we have a sympathy to them. Who loses? It's the Konkani language, the contribution from these people is totally cut off. It's the language that it uses. That's what I say. For the present at least, I am for multiplicity of scripts. Because till such a time, we ourselves decide that okay, now we are in a position of ready to go for a single script. That also by consensus.
Till such a time, a single script should continue, and then the multi-scriptivity should continue. Today, why is the differentiation? Somebody brought the point that the so in Madhavi synthesized that there are so many publications, so many books being published in the Devanagari script. Why they are different? Because you stop giving points to the other only given in the Devanagari script. We would have published much more literature if we had this point. In spite of that, we are still doing it. At our own cost, we've been doing it for years, and because of the love of literature and love of poetry, we are continuing. But don't ever compare, because government wants 100% of our own only for one script and not for the others. Secondly, I'd like to say that Madhuri Sirdesai's subject was for a case for a single script. She may be right, and I tend to agree to her that in the long run, a single script may be beneficial to the language itself. But along with the case of one script, you also say it should be Devanagari, then I don't agree. You cannot say which script also. Fair enough. Logically, it seems that for a single script, it may help the language. But to give a choice again and impose it, no, this is my case, I don't agree. She has the right to say what she says. One more point I'd like to add. This is quoted from 1939 onwards that Akhil Bharatiya and Pumani Parishads have been given statements for single scripts. All of them might have given, but as Mr. Kardul also said, he has been attending that. 99% or 98% of this constitution of this Akhil Bharatiya and Pumani Parishads has been on a single section itself of the Devanagari. Even today it continues in the Sahitya Academy, there is an advisory committee which constitutes hardly two people, and then the remaining eight people will be from the Devanagari lobby. How can two people be at the 20% and 80%? It continues this way. So any point or argument in favor of such a thing that majority of women for a particular solution should be continued or not told. I still think multiplicity for the moment is good for the language, okay? For the language itself, then it should be continued. Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric? I really don't know whether I should speak or not speak, because I am not touching those three major points that you are raising. So that is.
No, I am acting as a devil's
agent. I am not touching, but I am touching the other issue of Akhil Bharatiya and Pumani Parishad, which has been spoken about. Established in 1939, and ever since having parishads every 2 years, and the recent one in Bombay the other day. But let us be very, very clear. Let us be very clear who this parishad represents. How many organizations? They say all India. The board is there. I call it a main board organization, a front organization of the Devanagari lobby, which has been established in 1939, no doubt. And ever since, at every parishad, they have to pass the same resolution, even today, in the latest one in Bombay, that Devanagari is our official script. Something is seriously wrong. Something is seriously wrong. First of all, ask them who are their members. They would tell you Bhashmandal Mumbai, Bhashmandal Goa, Bhashmandal Karnataka, and one old man in Kochi. Three and a half. Not even four. And they call it Akhil Bharatiya Parishad. And this tamasha of 2 years, once in 2 years, the parishad goes on, and the same resolution is passed at every parishad. What necessitates this? If there are their argument had any substance, there are two things here. Honestly, I just want to tell you, many years ago when we had organized the first World Kumbhi Convention, Vasudev Mishani and we were working together at that time. These people ultimately came by and said that the next position we want to hold in Bangalore. At that time, I used very strong words to those leaders. I told them, you are carrying a more. To me, more among Mota. Doro Sai Kodi, to come more among Anicha Kanzai. They go to me, come on, come Mota. I am there to more, Nanta. Purusura. Kitain Zaina. They will be able to Purusura. Let us start afresh. Kitasi, Yerta Mata Chemonis, Matamanta, Chess Resolution Paskarta. And it is never implemented. 35 years ago, one of my issues shared on someone, Chandra Baba, they have not been support you, my man can change his opinion. I met Chapra 35 years ago. And Chapra is my guru, outlet in a movement of Solo, Lal Panjata, Ayuri Shankar, Maka, Yakukri movement of Atlas Chapra. 35 years ago, Adivation at the Vedi Ravam, Tanya Devanavich and Kusuno, Sir Tasma. Tasma. 35 years ago, that was my first, And if you have a lot of people who are in the world, you can't get the people who are in the world. You can't get the people who are in the world. You can't get the people who are in the world. See, they are not serious in what they say. This is what I'm trying to say. They are not serious. It's only a political statement. They have never tried to convert us to their. They have only said, you must accept this because they are in the interview. I call it a Brahminical argument. You do it because I tell you. But do you transfer this knowledge to us? No. That should be with me. Like they kill Sanskrit and Latin, they want to kill Kongani. They want to kill Kongani. Mudi Vidadu or no, Tangatara Gurunse. But I won't. In a very layman, I'm not an intellectual, I'm an activist. So I'm more passionate about you know, what touches my heart. And Amagati Fokana is the one. Fokana. They don't represent anybody in the first place. They have no right. Okay, Panjaman Mathe Rikar Kurundi. But a democratic process has to be there where all sections are involved and these decisions must be taken democratically. Again, some will say, are you trying to assert your majority if you have a majority? No, but then what else is the choice? What else is the choice? We have to come together, we have to discuss this and we have to trash this, okay? How? Kuna, Akhil Bharat Kumti Parishas is not the forum. It's not the forum. Because it is a front organization of one small group. It has not come. But I know, I am not into a very intellectual arena in these matters. More emotional than intellectual, so I leave it to Bharat Kumti.
The last query, and we will wind up this discussion on Madhavi Sarjesai's paper after this intervention.
Professor, just an observation. In the first place, I'd like to say I respect Dr. Sarjesai and her scholarship, but there's a lot of cherry picking going on there in the arguments she has put forward. She talks about Monsignor Delgado and Senator Delgado. In between, she forward a whole set of history. So you've taken two persons very unconsciously. In between, what was happening? People were producing literature all over the place. The diaspora from Goa was scattered in Bombay. The journalists were coming out from Anthony, were coming from BP. The Congress theatre was born in Bombay. Monkeys came out from Karachi. Already a radio was broadcasting to Africa in dialects which we are talking about. So we have problems of scattered cultures, we have problems of dialect, even if you have one state, state tomorrow, it's not going to solve this problem. So that's the literary criticism argument. And the last thing you are talking about a kindred relationship with other languages, why not let's all accept Devanagari? Why not let's all accept the Kannada script? It's a big gateway to South India, which is the most, for argument's sake, which is the most educated part of India today. I would like to, I would place there. So these are all the arguments which we could argue one way or the other. At the end of the day, it's political interest, it's our own, how we see our own cultural heritage and this kind of thing.
We are going to come back to this discussion from the other side in the afternoon. And I'm sure that some of those issues which have not been posted on this conference could be brought up there. But let me just sum up, just take 1 minute from you.
I'm sure that all of you are
hungry. Let's begin to highlight the key issues that came up in the morning discussion. And I refer to Professor Alok Rai's three issues that he has raised. I think we need to bring home those three big issues that he raised, according to me. He put it in his own language, but let me transliterate it in my language. He was saying that behind script controversies lie interests, lie classes and class positions. Even if you resolve what is called the script controversy, since the other issues remain, there would be other forms of assertions of these conflicts. Have you taken into account this larger political dynamics that apparently seems to be working out around script issues, but there might be very larger issues that are present as they were present in the Hindi-Urdu controversy. Wow. And I think we need to take board this big issue that maybe there is other dynamics that is at play. The second issue that he brought up is the analog issue. The analog issue is why issues in the Hindi-Urdu controversy have a relationship to what is happening in terms of Konkani. It is not probably very good to bring the analogy too close, and it might be important to investigate the ground situation much more closely. We might have parallel cases elsewhere. We might learn lessons from it, but learning lessons is something else. Reduction of these lessons into the scenario might actually bring a formal logic to bear on the situation, but may not give us a grip with regard to the concrete issue. There's a third issue I feel that he, particularly in the later part, he was trying to highlight, that any kind of essentialization, be it of the script or be it of language, is likely to lead to a situation where we are not going to appreciate diversity in its manifest forms, but might lead to most of essentialization, most of homogenization. And therefore, in the battle for diversity, in the battle of diversity, that might hang tendencies which in the name of diversity might be hugely reductive and they may not serve our purpose. So we might be fighting for something, but in turn the consequences may not be safeguarding diversity, but leading to the opposite consequences. Something the philosopher Hegel said in terms of the cunning of reason, the consequences are very different from what we intended to be. A philosophical position, very interesting. Asha, of course, tried to build up a large canvas around which issues of conflict of language and script have to be seen. But the way I understood it is basically she began to say that look here, some of these issues have to be seen in a two-fold context. One, you cannot understand language controversies unless you begin to locate these controversies in terms of the larger power dynamics. But the way she used the concept of power dynamics is not necessarily the way Alok used it, but in terms of the institutional arrangements of power. And she taught that these institutional arrangements of power that have been worked out all over India have not been adequately taken into cognizance by the protagonists of the positions in Congress. And it is important that these larger dynamics be brought to bear with regard to issues that we are discussing, either in terms of language controversy or in terms of script controversies. So I think we have had a fairly good day after day, and I thought that these issues I will just, you know, put before you before we wind up the morning session, and we will come back. And Eric Bob, you wanted to make any announcement?
Yeah, I always have announcements to make. One first announcement is that it's time for lunch, so we'll have lunch. Immediately after that, at 1:30, now it's 1 o'clock, 1:30, there will be a small street play here on the script issue. so it will be interesting to... it is all, it is on all five scripts. You know what, see, the beauty of theater or music is that we don't have any scripts, we do not have script problems. It's only the literators who have script problems. It is only literators who have script problems. Therefore, I say the script problem is a problem of only 5% or 3% of our people. 97% of people do not have any problem. It is the problem of the elite, the upper classes. Okay. Fine. So I request the office bearers of JKS not to have lunch now. We will sit for 10 minutes to decide and announce what we want to do from now on. What happens from here on? This is not the end. So what happens next? So we'll have to give it a thought. Yeah. So, and there is a bonus paper that is coming up, which was not announced. We are going to have a small presentation of the international perspective on script and language. Barbara Roger is here. She's prepared a small paper, very small, and copies will be given to all. And she will just read it out. And then if you have any interventions, we'll finish that and start the afternoon session at 2 o'clock. So thank you very much. Please come back at 1:25, the street play.